On the Shropshire Stars sports podcast this week, we've got regulars Chris Hudson and James Garrison.
James, last time we spoke, Shrewsbury were on a terrific run, but that all came to an end last Saturday.
Yes, 1-0 defeat at Aldershot, Chris. I'm very disappointed. I didn't actually see the game myself. I was having what I would describe as a well-earned rest. I'm not sure anyone else would, but yeah, disappointing. I'm sure Shrewsbury would have fancied going down to the recreation ground and getting another 3 points, as it was from all the reports I've heard and Graham Turner himself. It wasn't a good display. Shrewsbury were very lacklustre, didn't really create too many openings. It seems to happen all the time at Aldershot. The last two or three visits they've been there, they've struggled, laboured a little bit. Don't know what it is about it. I know Ben Hurd was speaking to one of our reporters down there and he was as mystified as anyone. He asked, what is it when you come to this place? Why can't you perform? It's just one of those bogey grounds at the moment. Every time Shrewsbury seem to go to Aldershot, it seems to end in disappointment.
A lot of the pre-match hype was all about the return of Marvin Morgan to Aldershot, and by all accounts, I think he got booed every time he touched the ball, didn't he?
I think so, and I don't think he had his best of games, so whether that got to Marvin, I don't know.
You wouldn't think so, would you? He's not that kind of character.
No, he's very confident and very upbeat about everything, really. He spoke very glowingly about Shrewsbury's chances this season, so you would have thought he'd have brought the best out of him in many ways, but bad day at the office, who knows? Graham Turner, I asked him earlier in the week whether he just puts it down to a bad day at the office and moves on after the good run. I think that was his general answer, although he did say that he'd had a good moan at the players on Monday. So I'm sure they've heard his frustrations at the performance, and it's all about putting it right now against Macclesfield on Saturday.
You went to see Graham Turner in the week, didn't you? But he seemed to be in quite a buoyant mood from what you told me.
Yeah, he was in very good spirits. He was actually with a former Shrewsbury coach, and one of his predecessors at Wolves, Graham Hawkins, has popped in to see him. He now lives in Market Drayton, so he was pleased to see him. And he was pretty upbeat, Graham. He was obviously disappointed with last Saturday, but I think he's quite optimistic about what the Christmas period holds. Shrewsbury've got four games in a little over 2 weeks, so it's an important time of the season, and I'm sure he's looking forward to it.
Yeah, Macclesfield Town, as you've already referred to this weekend, not the most glamorous of opponents in League Two. They seem to be the side that everyone overlooks every year.
Yeah, they seem to somehow stay in the league every year, but never really set it on fire. They just seem to finish somewhere in a block between 13th and 18th most seasons and never really get themselves into too much trouble. Gary Simpson's doing a good job there, isn't he? They play a decent brand of football. They pick up a few eye-catching results. They're not in great form at the moment, although they did have a win on Wednesday night against Chelmsford, which has booked them an FA Cup game at Bolton in the new year to look forward to. It's a tricky one, isn't it? You'd expect Shrewsbury to win it, but you'd have expected Shrewsbury to get something at Aldershot last Saturday. I know Graham Turner's been stressing no complacency has been the big motto this week around the ground. There's lots of distractions at this time of year for footballers, aren't there, as there are for everybody with the Christmas festivities going on. Shrewsbury can't get involved in any of that. They're just going to have to shut up shop and knuckle down, and they've got four big games over the next 2 weeks. They need to get as many points as possible just to make sure that 4 point gap which separates them from the top three doesn't open any further.
Do you envisage any team changes after the disappointment at Aldershot?
I'm sure there'll be some in the manager's thoughts. He's got such a strong squad that it would be wrong for him to overlook a poor performance and not make any changes. I know a young team went to Preston on Tuesday and played a behind closed doors friendly there, got beat 3-0, but I'm led to believe the second half performance was pretty good. You've got the likes of Aaron Wilde, haven't you, knocking on the door. You've got the likes of James Wallace as well, who we haven't seen too much of so far. I suspect at home the manager might go with Lionel Ainsworth. He's produced some good performances at home, wide, vast open space of the greenhouse meadow to run into. So I suspect there won't be too many changes, but I don't think you can rule out one or two.
Yeah, two lone players you referred to there, Wilding and Wallace. You can't imagine their parent clubs, Cardiff and Everton, want them just sitting on the bench at Shrewsbury. So at some stage you'd think they're probably going to come into the thinking.
Definitely, I think, as you say, they've not been sent out to warm the bench, have they? So James Wallace is the one, isn't it, for me? I think we've seen encouraging bits from Aaron Wilding, albeit not in his best position. He's been asked to play wide right for the much part, where we're led to believe he's a central midfielder. James Wallace, encouraging reports in training. He looked very good in that first 25 minutes at Dagenham before he was unfortunately sent off on his debut. There's certainly a player in there. It'd be interesting to see when the new year comes whether Everton will agree to allow him to stay in ditto Cardiff with Aaron Wilding.
Yeah, interesting hints from the manager in the week. He's got those two plus Hurst on loan, but the impression we've got is that there might be one or two signings in January.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be anything major. He was keen to stress that. He was playing his cards close to his chest, as understandably so, and as Graham always does. But you do get the impression he would be willing to make one or two additions to his squad when the transfer window opens up. It wouldn't divulge positions, whether there'd be fees to be paid out. We don't know at this stage, but I think they're in a very good position to push on. They're in a good position to contend for automatic promotion. I'm sure he'd like them to be a few points better off. They've still got three more home games and away games to come in the second half of the season, but he probably just feels that just to try and make sure that Shrewsbury are a top three side, he needs to make one or two additions.
One other bit of Shrewsbury business. You can look forward to a date on television coming up next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Shrewsbury Crawley being moved back 2 days. It could be a huge game, couldn't it? Crawley atop the league at the moment, and you'd fancy them to stay there with the amount of money they've spent out in their first season in the Football League. Shrewsbury unbeaten at home as we sit here now. Hopefully that'll last this weekend, and who knows whether it'll still be going in February. So it could be a real humdinger. I know Sky have chosen it for their Monday night coverage, whether haven't checked, but I assume it's probably an international break and there's no Premier League fixtures that weekend, so they've looked down the leagues, and it should be a good encounter for the television cameras. So that's one to look forward to for all Shrewsbury fans.
Let's hope those fans come to the game though and don't just sit at home watching it on the box.
That's always the danger, isn't it? On to Telford. They had a good solid away Sunday work, didn't they? There's no Saturday football for you this week, Chris. Sunday it was, and a good solid away win.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon trip to Nuneaton in the FA Trophy, and Telford off to a flying start in that competition this year. They won 2-0, and that was a perfectly fair reflection of the game. If anything, Telford could have had one or two more. They had a decent opening goal from Andy Brown, and Andy Brown also had another effort disallowed early in the second half that I didn't see much wrong with, a challenge on the goalkeeper, and it brought up that age-old debate again about whether goalkeepers just get too much protection.
They do, don't they? Let's be honest, they do.
Certainly did in this game. I saw nothing wrong. A decent box ball into the box from Will Salmon. Branch jumped, his arms weren't in the air. He's won the header and the ball's gone in the net, and the referee's blown up for the foul straight away. It seemed a strange one to me. In the end, fortunately, it didn't cost Telford, because Chris Sharp came off the bench, popped up in the 92nd minute with a second goal, just to ease any late nerves for the Bucks.
Telford could have had they have got a great history in this competition, haven't they, in its former guise, but they could have had a bit of better luck with the draw. It's not an easy one, that Cambridge away.
Yeah, very difficult one. As you say, Telford are looking out, building on a very proud tradition. They've got the best record in the FA Trophy of any team. 3 wins and 2 more loot defeats in finals. So 5 appearances in that stage is, and no team has ever got close to matching that in non-league football. So it's a very proud record for the Bucks. And AFC Telford got to the semi-finals just 2 years ago when they went out to York. This time around, as you say, a real tough trip to go any further, because Cambridge United are up there in the playoff zone at the moment. One thing Telford can look back at is they've already played away to Cambridge this season, opening game of the season for them, and they lost 1-0, but they played so well that night, and the Cambridge goalkeeper was deservedly man of the match. Telford could have been 2 or 3 up at half time at least. So I think if they can go there, produce that sort of performance again, who knows, they've got a chance.
On the road again this weekend, off to Braintree. Great trip for you and your press colleagues, Chris. Are you looking forward to that one?
Yeah, one of the longest ones of the season, just before Christmas. It's not ideal, but I suppose...
what better way to spend it?
Telford have got to knuckle down and focus, and they've got to not put all the travelling out of their minds. They don't have the luxury of an overnight stay. I'm sure if, you know, even Shrewsbury Town, when they make a trip of that sort of distance, they'll probably go on the Friday afternoon, stay in a hotel. Telford have done that a few times in the past, but I think, like everybody, they've tightened their budget in recent times, and I don't think this season they have had a single overnight trip so far. And once again at Braintree, they'll just be travelling on the day of the game. Not the easiest one. Braintree were in electric form at the start of the season. They won 6 out of 6 in September. They've been piling down the table since then, and hopefully Telford can go there and get just their second away win.
Steve Jones still a doubt as well, we're led to believe. That would be a big blow if he didn't make it.
Yeah, he's been quality for the Bucks. Coming, he's an ex-Crewe player. He's also played at, he was in the Burnley team that won promotion to the Premier League. So bags of experience, and at 35 years of age, he's still full of enthusiasm for the game. Done really well for Telford, but did just pick up a niggly injury against York last Tuesday. He was rested against Nuneaton. We were told more as a precaution than anything else. And speaking to the manager this week, he's still not quite right, so it looks like he could be missing out again. One bonus for Telford, though, is that they've got Sharp back from suspension in that position. They've got Andy Brown looking like he's a bit more like the Andy Brown of old again. And hopefully they've got enough cover, therefore, to deal without Jones.
And Elliot Chamberlain, we're led to believe, could be there as well. So there's plenty of goals there for Telford.
Yeah, Elliot Chamberlain's a man I think a lot of supporters have almost forgotten about. He was brought in on loan from Leicester City, came in for his debut and got injured during that game. And we've barely seen him. Well, we haven't seen him since. 4 games since then, and Chamberlain's not even made the bench. It all started at Luton Town when he was supposed to be on the bench, and he actually had to pull out in the warm-up because of breathing problems. Well, we're told that he's still feeling it a little bit in training, but not enough to stop him playing anymore. So he's available to the manager, but as I've just referred to, I'm not convinced he'll get into the side. I think the bench is the best he can hope for at the moment.
Telford presumably would take a point on Saturday.
I think they'd take a point, but this is the kind of game they'll look at and think, well, we've got to win another away game sometime. And Braintree are having a tough time, and if Telford can go there and show the same application they did against Nuneaton and against York last Tuesday, I think they can win this one.
Bold prediction. We will see what happens, and we will see you again next Thursday for more podcasts.